Psalm?
It's on now. Okay.
Psalm 146. So it is a Psalm of David, a devotional psalm, and we have commented often as we've studied the book of Psalms how many of the psalms seem to have something of a dark context, something of a trial or of a suffering nature. So much of David's life, as you know, was taken up with running from Saul or running from Absalom, his own son, or those dark days, that entire year that he ran and covered up his sin with Bathsheba. And so all of this goes into the writing of the book of Psalms. And as we've often said in the book of Psalms, if you're looking for a psalm to fit the emotion that you're experiencing on any given day, read far enough in the book of Psalms and you will find one. That's why we love this book so much. There are psalms for our highs, there are psalms for our lows, there are psalms for encouragement in difficult days, there are psalms for a nation to pray for God's direction for the nation. So most topics that we find in the Christian life are touched in the book of Psalms. We really do appreciate this magnificent book for the range of emotions that we find. Because, again, we are emotional people. God made us that way. We shouldn't apologize for our personalities, our spiritual gifts. The Lord made us the way He made us for a reason. And when we come to the book of Psalms, you'll find something to identify with regardless of your personality, your spiritual gift, or your station in life. So this is, without a doubt, a devotional psalm. We don't really know much about the background of the psalm. When you consult with commentators, many of them at this point are playing follow those in front, follow the leader, because most commentators simply repeat what they've heard, which is fine. There's not a great deal of information about the psalm. I would simply suggest that it may be at a time in David's life where the clouds are rolling back, the thunderstorm has passed, there is a clear blue sky, there is the sun shining in clarity, and David is seeing perhaps as very few times in his life that there are no real problems on the horizon. Things have perhaps cleared. And David now is expressing pure praise and pure rejoicing to the Lord. And so with that in mind, we might call this the Psalm of a Happy Man, or the Psalm of a Happy Woman. Let me begin reading in verse 1. You follow along quietly in your Bibles. Psalm 146 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man. Just a little wording here that we want to discuss. How many of your translations in verse 3 read, "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man"? Could I see your hands? All right, just a little difference of translation here. Let me read it. Pay attention to the wording. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a Son of Man. Because there the thought is, do not put your trust in a human being. Not the Son of Man, as we know the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. That was His favorite title. This is not a reference to Christ or to the Lord Jesus. This is simply a reference to David having learned that when you can put your trust in the Lord, why would you ever put your trust only in a man? So that helps us to understand the emphasis of the psalm. Verse 4 speaking now of that man. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. So that would mean that a mere man, a son of man, a mortal, a human being, will die. His plans will end. What he can do for you is limited by his own death. So we would not put our trust for deliverance and so forth in a man, any man. We'll discuss that in just a moment. Verse 5, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. Now that would be a very good phrase to underline in verse 5. The title for God is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to his prisoners. And we'll stop there, our reading, for just a moment. So the psalm opens with an exhortation, praise the Lord. Again, what is the difference between praise and worship? We've talked about this on occasion, and we don't want to be overly dogmatic and draw lines where Scripture doesn't draw lines, but generally speaking, praise is thanking the Lord for what He has done. We praise the Lord for His marvelous acts to the children of men. Now, we want to study the Scripture in context, and we will do that this morning. Our job, first of all, as Bible students, is to read the text, understand the wording, do our best to understand the context, and then we want to make sure that before we leave that text, that we have a personal application for it. So if I were to ask us this morning, if the question were to be put to you or to me, for what are you praising the Lord this morning? What could you say? And we would then, really, we need a whiteboard about that size to get started, don't we? We would praise the Lord regardless of whether we have a current problem or a trial in our lives, a current need that is pressing us. Regardless of those things, this psalm begins with praise the Lord. Now, what if you do not feel like praising the Lord? What should you do? Do it anyway. After all, who are you listening to? The problem many of us get into is that we listen to ourselves. Someone has said there's no problem talking to yourself as long as you don't listen. Our emotions, our feelings change moment by moment. And so here the psalmist is giving us a universal exhortation, praise the Lord. Now, if we find ourselves in a state of mind, we would find it very difficult to praise. Let's analyze why a child of God might find it difficult to praise the Lord this very morning. If I'm having a difficult time, and I have to be honest with you, there are times when praising the Lord comes very difficult. I think that's true of us all. But if I am having a difficult time praising the Lord, in essence, what have I done? I believe we'll find that if I am not praising the Lord, I have taken my eyes, my focus off the Lord and His goodness, and I've allowed my spirit to be bitter or to be a complaining spirit. It's almost a sure thing that if I cannot praise, it is because I have taken my eyes, my focus off the Lord. So, for what do we praise Him? Salvation. We would always begin there. To be glad you're saved. To be glad your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. To be glad you have a home in heaven. To be glad that you need not ever worry about spending eternity in the lake of fire. We can always praise the Lord for that. Now let's drop down, and that probably is the very first on each of our lists. But what would be a second? Yes, ma'am. Thankful for the Holy Spirit, and we might add the Word of God. Thankful for that. Praise Him for that. What else? Praise Him for His hearing our prayers, that we can pray. Praise Him for that. What else? Yes, ma'am? His presence. That's right. Praise Him for that. All right, we've gone through that He is Almighty God, that He is omnipotent. All right, we've gone through five things. How long would that take? Sometimes we do speed praise, don't we? Just mark them off. What else? All right, His presence. He's always there. His presence will, we never need worry that He's going hear or answer or be a part of our lives. The point is, when we begin praising, before long, our minds shift in their focus from what's wrong to what's right. And that's a discipline. It's something we just have to do. When we begin our devotional time, and again, whether you do that in the morning or afternoon or evening, regardless of when your best time of the day is, when you begin that quiet time with the Lord, we're told over and over again in Scripture to come into His presence with thanksgiving. Sometimes we're so burdened for a prayer request that we go right to the supplication aspect. And the Lord knows. He knows what's pressing on us, and He's not a harsh taskmaster. But really, in order to be able to pray in faith, the concept of praise and worship should come first. And be liberal in our praise and our worship. Spend time there. Think about things we haven't discussed this morning. What about God maintaining all creation? And He does that around the clock. What about the ability to get up and our health, we didn't mention? Our families, our food, our clothing, our all of these things. And if we spend a rich, in-depth portion of our time praising, then it will help us in our frame of mind to go further in our time with Him. We have turned from the gloomy, we have turned from the trials and the difficulties to the greatness of God. You will see that progression in this psalm. And if we take this psalm as a pattern, it will actually help us in our frame of mind as we begin our period of worship and prayer and so forth. So here, praise the Lord. Now, there is something of a gap in the wording of verse 1, praise the Lord. It's almost a musical notation where we would give appropriate time to praise. I don't know if you sing in your devotional time or not. I try not to. I would rather talk. I do know some good friends of mine who will take a songbook in their a little closet area with them, and they'll practice going through psalms and songs. That's a wonderful idea. You might turn on Christian broadcasting, or you have a favorite CD. It does help, especially when you are discouraged or depressed, to listen to good, soothing, rich Christian music, along with reading. Give proper time to praise. Praise the Lord. Then there, of course, are opportunities to go into supplication, prayer, and so forth, the other aspects of prayer. So this psalm, I believe, I would suggest, is a psalm that is David's reflection of God's goodness to him for wonderful works The clouds have passed away. The sun is shining. He is experiencing a moment, we should say, a time of blessing. And he is just consumed with the idea of praising God. Perhaps our prayer should be, Lord, help us to be better at praising. That is one of the missing jewels of the contemporary Christian church. That we're not singing for ourselves or to ourselves, but we're singing to and for the Lord. Some of the songs that express His character and His attributes that bring to our minds the person and character of God. And so enough said there about praising the Lord. Now, the latter part of verse 1, praise the Lord, O my soul. Again, we don't want to draw lines where Scripture doesn't draw heavy lines, but we are made up of three parts, according to 1 Thessalonians 5. The way we quote the verse, we are body, soul, and spirit. But invariably, Scripture reverses the order and says that we are spirit, soul, and body. And here the psalmist addresses the soul. I would not be surprised if this word for soul is interchangeable with spirit, but the idea here is the soul is the seat of the emotion. And we're not alone in our possession of a soul. Animals have souls, not spirits that live forever, but animals, the animal creation has a soul. Have you ever heard the term mad dog? Dogs can get mad. Animals can experience what we would think of as delight. Have you ever seen a dog begin to wag his tail so fast that his whole body started wagging? Just open a can of food, and he just goes crazy. He's happy. He's emotional. So the soul is the seat of our emotion, and David is responding to God's goodness, and he's asking, "Oh, my soul, praise the Lord." Getting deep into the being. Let the spirit and the soul respond to God's goodness by giving Him praise. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And that's an interesting verse, isn't it? What does it mean, while I have my being? David, according to some, came close to losing his mind. Some believe David had a nervous breakdown. If that's the case, David knew very well what it was to be so depressed or so discouraged that he was not sure whether he was in his right mind or not. And most of us have felt something like that, or at least close to it, haven't we? You know, the old saying, when somebody says, "I'd like to give him a piece of my mind," you better not do it. You need to keep all you've got. Don't go giving it away. Here, David's thought, I would suggest, is that while David was young enough and mentally alert enough, he wanted to praise the Lord as an efficient, skillful, intelligent worshiper, which leads us to believe that the highest function of man on the earth is to worship God. We often take that for granted. Worship is a high and holy occupation. It means so much to the heart of God to hear one of His creatures, not a puppet or a machine, but one of His creatures, by the act of His own will, come to the Lord and praise Him for His mighty acts to the children of men. While I live, I will praise Him. Now, here I believe there's an application for us devotionally. Do we have to wait until the clouds have subsided to praise? Do we have to wait until the sun is shining to praise? There may be times when the day is so dark and the difficulties are so very, very mountainous to us that praising the Lord seems almost an impossibility. But by faith, we praise Him anyway. I think one of the steps of faith the Lord often asks us to take is to thank Him in advance for what He's going to do. By faith, we claim what we cannot see. And as we thank the Lord and praise Him for what we have prayed, and we believe have gotten confirmation from Him that this is the will of God, to thank Him in advance for what He will do enables us to praise even though the clouds, per se, have not cleared. So, verses 1 and 2, an exhortation to praise. Verses 3 and 4 tell us what not to praise. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day his plans perish. So the best of men are only men at best. We would not want to build our hopes upon a man only, would we? Joseph learned that lesson in prison. Remember when Joseph was put in prison because Potiphar's wife accused him of harassing her? And while in prison, Joseph met the butler and the baker. And it may be the only spot in Joseph's life that may be a little bit of a negative. He said there, when you return, remember me or speak well of me. But then he has to say later, he forgot me. That's what happens when we trust men. He forgot me. Now, this doesn't mean that there aren't good friends we can trust. We want to be clear on this. We are thankful for good friends. What this means is, as good as a friend may be to us, we should never trust them instead of the Lord. You are blessed if you have more than two or three good friends. You're truly blessed. We think of our church families as a family of friends, and that is true, but how many of them can we actually get so close that we can tell them anything? We do not have to hold back. They love us enough to listen to us even when we're acting crazy. They love us enough to screen what we've said and look beyond the temporary insanity to the pattern of life. If you have a good friend like that, be thankful. Someone who will love you unconditionally. But we're not to trust them instead of the Lord. There are times when it becomes apparent to us that we have not disciplined ourselves to trust the Lord and go to Him first. Often it's shown by how we go into crisis mode with our friends when we hit a wall. If I am pouring out for the first time all of my worry and all of my fear and all of my crisis talk, generally it is because I've not gone to the Lord first. If I've gone to the Lord and poured it all out before Him, I've gained perspective before I go to even my closest friend. So here the psalmist, and no doubt David, had good friends. Nathan was a good friend to David. Nathan made a mistake when David told him he wanted to build the Lord a house, and Nathan said, sure, go ahead and build one. Nathan had not spent time in the Lord's presence either. And Nathan had to come back and say, David, it's not the Lord's will for you to build a house. He was a good friend to David. And so here the emphasis is not on not enjoying friends or not being thankful for friends, but not trusting them or loading onto them a burden that we should first take to the Lord. We often say it, go to the throne before you go to the phone. When we have a good friend that we rely upon, yes, we're thankful for them. But it is not wise to trust them instead of the Lord. The reason is, verse 4, he will die. He will go back to the earth. In that very day, his plans perish. So he's only a man. She's only a woman like we are. Now, in verses 5 and following, the illustration of Jacob. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. Now, we can understand God calling himself the God of Abraham. We can even understand him calling himself the God of Isaac. But why would God ever call himself the God of Jacob? That's a hard one to understand. Because if you know Jacob, you know what a slimy creature he was early in his life. The supplanter, the schemer. You and I would not like Jacob if we met him in his early days. He always had a plan. He always had an angle. Are there any used car salesmen in here? All right, we're safe. Or any others that, what shall we say, have an underlying motive. They're used to flattery. They tell you what you want to hear with an ulterior motive. You just realize there's something not genuine about them. That was Jacob. And for the first portion of Jacob's life, he had to learn that all of these schemes, all of these plans got him nowhere. His mother said, Jacob, your father, your brother is going to kill you. When your father dies, your brother hates your guts. You better take a little vacation and leave the premises. He never saw his mother's face again after that. He left and she died. Jacob had to learn the hard lesson that promotion comes from the Lord. And then there's that, we think of the Bible as not having a sense of humor. That simply is not true. The Bible has some stories in it that to me are just hilarious. Remember how Jacob came up with the idea of getting solid and striped and spotted cattle? He would strip mandrakes. Geneticists have done their best to come up with what they thought Jacob was thinking of. And I think they just walk away shaking their head. The Lord blessed Jacob in spite of his plans. And here David said, we're happy to say we have the God of Jacob for our help. So what does that mean? Jacob didn't deserve it. Jacob was a mess. And there is steady, faithful, loving God who never left Jacob, who had a plan for his life. And while he let Jacob, just as crooked as a stick, experience things in his life, the overall plan of God for Jacob's life was fulfilled. Aren't we glad for that? In other words, he builds into his plan for our lives and accommodates for our failure. He never throws us away. If you go to McDonald's or any of the other fast food restaurants to eat a decent breakfast, I counted 21 throwaway items at my table. 21 throwaway items. And that goes from the wrappers to the plates, the forks, the knives, even the salt and pepper now is in disposable packages. Everything is disposable. So when you're finished with your tray, you dump a whole tree into the garbage can. We say in our society, things that are broken are not usable. In God's economy, things are not usable until they're broken. Aren't we glad for that? That just inverts our reasoning. We think, I've got to be all of this for God to use me. Actually, God is saying, when you come to the end of yourself and you're broken, you see yourself as a throwaway, that's when we are usable to the Lord. And so when we come to the end of Jacob's life, when you come to the book of Hebrews, the last reference in Jacob in the Bible, it says, and Jacob worshipped leaning on his staff, which I think is a reference to Jacob's wrestling with God. And the Lord took Jacob's hip and threw it out of joint. And Scripture says, and from that day to this, the present writing, Jacob limped. And the last reference to him is that because of that limp, he was leaning on his staff, but now he's finally gotten the balance. He was a limper, if I can create a word. Joseph learned to limp, and in learning to limp, he learned the meaning of true worship. He worshipped leaning on his staff. There's a song, Learning to Lean. Learning to Lean. That's Jacob. And this is how David says to us, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. And we have the God of Jacob as our help as well. Well, our time is gone. Any questions or comments, suggestions, whatever, about Psalm 146? Yes, Bill. Yeah. And I'm reminded, too, of Hudson Taylor, who spent most of his life in China. We're familiar with his work in ministry. He said that on a daily basis, his number one priority in the morning when he began to meet with the Lord was to get himself happy in the Lord's presence, which meant he made sure that his sins were forgiven, that he was in a state of worship. That's something to remember, isn't it? His number one priority was to get to a place of peace and happiness before the Lord. Like you say, when that's done early in the morning and you maintain that kind of peace of mind through the day, that is a successful day. To be happy in the Lord all day, and then you go to bed at night and you can be thankful for all that the Lord did that day. You get up the next morning and do the same thing all over again. Yes. Any others? It's a great psalm. Praise the Lord. Really sums it up. Praise the Lord for all He has done. Well, before we leave, wish everyone a happy, victorious Easter. Certainly the most important day in the Christian year. Without the resurrection, none of this matters. But because He is alive indeed, we are as well. And we are so thankful, aren't we? Figure that one out. Yeah, figure that one out. Yes, he does. Right now, he's praying for you. Yeah. Charles. Sweet verse, isn't it? Verses to live by. Any others? Let's pray. Father, we do individually and corporately as a group this morning come before Thee, and we just want to praise Your holy name. We've been told to extol the Lord. And Father, it's our joy this morning, and Your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, deserve all of our praise and more, and for all eternity, as we've been reminded, it will be our joy and our pleasure to worship, to praise, praise, to adore you for all eternity. Thank you, too, for the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts and lives, enabling us to live the Christian life. Father, we are so very weak and can do nothing apart from your help. And we thank you that you are so pleased to meet us in our need and take up the slack and be to us what we could never be. Lord, as we go out into a needy world today, may we go out with the joy of the Lord as our strength. And Lord, bring us across the path of someone that we can share a word of testimony concerning the Lord Jesus. Lord, not all of us are evangelists. We may not have the spiritual gift of preaching the gospel, but give us grace, Lord, just to speak a word for you, and that you would take that and send it deep into the heart of someone who needs to hear. Lord, this poor, sick, miserable world needs the light of the Lord Jesus. May we be something of His light today. We pray in Jesus' name.